Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is our spring membership drive. More about that in a minute. Ohio State University is steeped in history and tradition. We all know this, of course. How could you not? But how much do you really know? Raymond Gerler, he's a professor emeritus at Ohio State University, decided to write it all down in The Ohio State University, an illustrated history. Until his retirement in January, Ray was university archivist and assistant director of special collections for the OSU libraries. Ray is a historian and author of To the Pole, The Diary and Notebook of Richard E. Byrd. His newest book is the result of his 32 years of service in the OSU archives and OSU libraries and 9 years of co-teaching a course. It's called OSU, Its History and Its World. This book is so brand new, it's not available yet. This is the first place you're going to be able to order it, is by making a pledge to WOSU today. You can't get it anywhere else yet. It's not out yet. It'll be out in about a month, and we'll make, you know, you'll be one of the first to have it. If you make your pledge right now at the $150 level, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our spring membership drive. Please make your pledge of support right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. Our goal this hour is $4,000. We can meet this goal with your help. Online pledges count toward the goal, too, at WOSU.org. 1-866-897-9678 is the call to make, and with a pledge of support at the $150 level, our thank you gift is the book, the brand new book, the book not out yet, The Ohio State University and Illustrated History. This brand new book is a must-have for all Buckeye fans. The book is the definitive guidebook to the history of The Ohio State University, and it's brand new. You can get it first right here on 89.7 NPR News as a thank you gift for your pledge of $150 in support of public radio. And I think that Father's Day is coming up, and if I don't know, I'm just going to make a guess here that there's a lot of dads out there that would love to have this book. It's an illustrated history. There are a ton of pictures in it. Makes it very, very interesting. So go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And let's hear Carmen, Ohio. If there's one thing I love about OSU, it's Carmen, Ohio. Where did it come from, Ray?
Well, it was written by Fred Cornell, who was a member of the University Glee Club. And Cornell tells an interesting story about how he was inspired to do this. One is dramatic, and the other is real. The dramatic part is that after returning from a football game at Ann Arbor, in which OSU was thoroughly trounced, the score was something like 85 to nothing, a tearful Fred Cornell wrote Carmen, Ohio, which does, after all, have a sad-like quality, on a napkin while on the train, and this was the start of Carmen, Ohio. Actually, Fred Cornell told two stories. The other story, which is actually documented, is that he was asked by the University Glee Club to write a university song. The first performance was, I think the year was 1904, in University Hall by the Glee Club. And George Bellows, the prominent artist, was a member of that Glee Club.
Wow.
And
portrait artist,
And the documentary evidence we have is an article in The Lantern, which was a student newspaper even back then, that commented on how what a wonderful song this was by Fred Cornell and how it ought to be used regularly. And it achieved the popularity that it did a few years later. The hymn that is the music really was a from Spanish chant. Cornell was familiar with church music, and that was popular in Protestant churches at the time.
Who was Cornell?
Cornell was a student.
Okay, just a
so
student.
This was a student enterprise. Many of our traditions were student-based. For example, our selection of colors, scarlet and gray, was the result of a student committee who was looking for ribbons to attach to the first diplomas in 1878. They needed something to wrap the diplomas, and they needed ribbons, and okay, what colors? And the student committee went to Lazarus, the department store, and selected orange and black. Then it was discovered somewhat belatedly and with some embarrassment that these were the colors of Princeton. And so they went back to Lazarus and looked at different ribbons and selected scarlet and gray. Nobody
so
had it.
What was that? Because you think of Ohio State having their school colors from, since DIRT, was formed.
Well, that would have been, that was in 1878 with that first commencement in, I believe it was June of 1878.
Okay.
This was the university's first commencement, a desire of a new institution to create traditions that would be sustained by generations. And in fact, if you think of the university itself is one of the oldest of institutions known to civilization, and it's the work of generations upon generations upon generations. And so that was one of the reasons why I felt that we needed a book that was popular in nature, that provided an overview of the university's history.
I don't think that Ohio State is unique in this way, but Ohio State fans love their traditions.
That is certainly true. Those traditions, as the book points out, have changed. And so I do have a chapter about the traditions, and part of that chapter is traditions that died. And some thankfully died because one of the traditions was the cane rush, which was a clash between freshmen and sophomores that was pretty violent. At one point, even the Lantern complained about the tradition that arms were broken, clothes torn.
What would happen? What was it?
It was basically the sophomore class was had the challenge of moving a cane across a field that was protected by freshmen. And the freshmen, there were very few rules, seized the bodies of the sophomores, wrestled them to the ground, searched for the cane, because if they found the cane and could move it across the sophomore goal, then they won. And this was a pretty, at times, enthusiastic tradition. And at one point, the Lantern said that if this is how this tradition is going to be, then maybe the classes ought to have a less violent game, less violent tradition, namely a football game. So you get a sense of how things get out of hand with those traditions.
I was going to say, it feels like they channeled a lot of this energy into their football program.
Well, and that tradition died in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm. And which was about when the football started to kick into high gear, right?
Well, actually, the football started in the early 1890s and had an accelerated climb in popularity when OSU joined the Big Ten, the Western Athletic Conference, in the 19-teens. That elevated the competition, elevated the attention, and in fact, up until then, there was a rise in popularity so much that Ohio Field, which had its maximum seated 12,000 people, simply couldn't accommodate the crowds anymore. There was one game against Illinois where fans were sitting in trees and rooftops. People rented out their rooftops for people to watch the game. So you had a sense of the fervor. And, of course, that was also the period when OSU had its second, actually, All-American, but the one who got the most attention, namely Chick Harley.
Right. We've had a show about Chick Harley before, too. Great football player.
He was indeed.
You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Raymond Gerler. He is professor emeritus and has written a new book. It's not out yet. It's called The Ohio State University and Illustrated History. It is our gift to you at the $150 level, our thank you gift to you. And I think it would make a great Father's Day gift if the father in your life is an OSU fan. Anyone you know who is an OSU fan would appreciate this book. 1-866-897-9678. That's the number to call to make your pledge right now to listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. 1-866-897-9678 and make a pledge of $150 and pick up your very own copy of The Ohio State University, An Illustrated History. This book includes tons of great photographs, is the first one-volume history of the university to appear in more than 50 years. Pick up this thank you gift for a pledge of $150, not just for a football fan either, but any fan of OSU, any true blue, scarlet and gray OSU alumni. Alumna or alumnus will appreciate this book. It's our gift to you at the pledge of $150. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And if you can't manage the $150, we completely understand. Give what you can afford. That's all we ever ask, what you afford and what you think WOSU is worth, right?
Yeah, and I'm delighted to be on this show. I'm delighted to have my book talked about, but I'll be especially delighted if WOSU, as a result of my book, draws additional financial support. I want to say that I am both a listener and a financial supporter of WOSU. In fact, on my car radio, I have three buttons that are programmed. Two of them are programmed to WOSU. So your show in particular, in providing a whole hour for someone to talk about a topic in depth, is a extraordinary difference in radio that both entertains and educates.
I think sometimes people forget when they listen to WOSU almost exclusively, like so many public media listeners do, that the rest of the radio out there is very, very different. So if you want to just take a moment and maybe flip over to another radio station and listen for 5 minutes and see how long you last, and then flip back and call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And thank you, Ray, for that endorsement of WOSU and 89.7. 1-866-897-9678. We really need your endorsement, and we need it in the form of a pledge. Whatever you can give, whatever you think it's worth. You can also go to WOSU.org. It takes just a few minutes, and we'll appreciate it for the whole rest of the year. A few minutes for the whole rest of the year of our appreciation. 1-866-897-9678. And I don't know if I've thrown the number out there, but if you have a question or comment for Ray, call 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Maybe we can play Stump the Expert, you know, if you have a question or comment, something arcane that you think Ray might not know or maybe will know about, give us a call. 1-614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You were talking about traditions that change. Any others that off the top of your head you can think of?
Yes, there was a class day, which was consisted of athletic contests with typically members of the senior class. Faculty joined in. The whole concept of traditions has always been somewhat controversial. Certainly, they lend color to the to university life. They're also something that binds one generation with another by following the traditions. But others have been critical. For example, Woodrow Wilson, when he was president of Princeton, said that traditions were a sideshow of the tent, a distraction, in other words. But certainly we've had many traditions, some of them athletic, others are military. For example, after World War I, for about two decades, there was a tradition of taps on the Oval, where every Wednesday, I think it was, the taps would be blown, and people would stop. And stop what they're doing and listen to the taps. This was a memorial, if you will, to the veterans of World War I.
I thought a lot about tradition last year when we did a show on the new OSU Union. And I was wondering what your estimation is, or you know, what your review is of the union and how they put that together. Because you made me think of it a little bit earlier when you talked about how the students were involved in choosing the school colors. Students were really involved in the new union.
That's true. I'm excited by the new union. It's a wonderful facility that is so user friendly. And it harkens back to, I think it was 1909. When the students and alumni campaigned for the state legislature to provide money for the first student union, which is now Anderson Hall. And that building was the first student union at a public university.
Oh.
There were so many student organizations by the turn of the 20th century that they needed a place to meet. And, of course, the trustees' priority was classroom buildings, not places for students to meet and their organizations. So the students organized and petitioned, and the upshot was that the university got money from the legislature for that building.
Students have always been very involved in the university then. They just don't come here and consume knowledge.
That's correct. And one of my chapters in the book concerns the history of student life because our first faculty were, and administrators, presidents, were quite concerned because student life in 19th century colleges and universities had sometimes were more energetic than the faculty and administrators wanted. This was particularly sensitive for OSU because we were a new university, a public university, and furthermore, we were not far away from the state legislature. So student behavior was a matter of concern, and student life really sprouted beyond university control. There's interesting in the university faculty minutes. I think it was we opened in September. By October of 1873, the faculty passed a resolution warning students not to interfere with the quiet studies of other students or to damage the furniture. And the fact that most students lived off campus presented additional concerns. But by the turn of the century, there was a successful effort to build a university infrastructure to encourage, to guide, and not necessarily control student life. And that was also part of the times, because the whole concept of adolescence doesn't come about until the turn of the 20th century, Stanley Hall, the psychologist. So all of these things are part of our history.
1-866-897-9678. That's the number to call if you want to show your support for WOSU right now. Thanks to David in Danville. We have $3,800 to go in just about 36 minutes. So make the call right now. You have to make the call. You can't expect somebody else to do it. If you appreciate the programming we bring to you on 89.7 NPR News, then you have to tell us. And you can do that literally and figuratively. Literally, you can tell one of our volunteer operators what you think of WOSU. And you can also do it figuratively by making your pledge right now, 1-866-897-9678. We won't judge you on the amount. We just want you to show some support. Give what you can and give what you can afford. And with a pledge of support at the $150 level, our thank you gift to you will be the book, The Ohio State University and Illustrated History. This brand new book is a must-have for all loyal Buckeyes. The book is the definitive guidebook to the history of the Ohio State University. It's brand new. You can get it first right here on 89.7 NPR News as a thank you gift for a pledge of $150 in support of public radio. At the $60 pledge level, you can get your Ohio's WOSU member card, and that gives you access or discounts at more than 200 area attractions and restaurants. So call 1-866-897-9678. Decide what works for you, what you think it's worth to you, and what you can afford, and make the call right now. We really need to show you, need to show your support now. We have just 2.5 days left in this membership drive. We have an email now from Alex. If you want to send us an email, you can go to allsides@wosu.org. And Alex writes, you can look up the old cheers in microfilm copies of The Lantern from many different decades. It's funny to read some of the cheers and imagine bringing them back today. Here is an example. Wahoo, wahoo, rip, zip, bazoo. I yell for OSU.
You can understand why that...
Wow, Alex.
You can understand why that fell to Carmen, Ohio. But that is absolutely correct. That was the most popular cheer until Carmen, Ohio became the alma mater. Yes. There were many cheers. There's a songbook that was published in 1902 it's about 70 pages of various songs. You know, they adapted songs from other places and inserted OSU.
You know, the history of OSU probably is a really great parallel for the history of public education in the United States.
Absolutely. In fact, our first president, Edward Orton, talked in his inaugural address about the importance of the Land-Grant Act and the founding of the Ohio State University. He referred to the Land-Grant Act as a defining moment in the history of civilization. He was a geologist. He compared it to a geologist finding a fossil as a record of an age. And he thought so, too, in the history of civilization would the Land-Grant Act, the Morrill Act of 1862, that led to OSU and other land-grant colleges as a defining time for the history of mankind.
Thanks to Tim in Columbus, we have $3,650 to go. We have a little over 31 minutes, so make the call right now, 1-866-897-9678, and you can go online to WOSU.org. It takes only a minute. You'll feel a heck of a lot better when it's all over with, and then you can sit back and relax and listen to the rest of the show. Let's hear the battle cry. Some people just love the battle cry.
Columbus, there's a team that's known throughout the land. 11 warriors, brave and bold, whose fame will ever stand.
That's an old-time version of the Buckeye Battle Cry. That song tells of the 11 football warriors, bold and brave, and now maybe we can delve further into the history of Buckeye football, I suppose. There's a chapter on Buckeye football, perhaps?
Actually, there's a chapter on OSU athletics. Mm-hmm. There are many books on OSU football, OSU basketball, and other sports. What I wanted to do was to take a look at the history of athletics. How did athletics become such a major part of university life? Because at the very beginning, university administration and faculty had very mixed feelings. They appreciated intramural sports, but intercollegiate competition disrupted and was a distraction from academe. Students had to train. They went elsewhere to play games. And there was a mixed feeling about this. And again, this was students who drove the importance of athletics. After all, other universities, other colleges had athletics. We wanted to be competitive. This was largely a student initiative with some faculty support. And what happened was a financial problem. In the 1880s, the Student Athletic Association ran into debt. The faculty and administration were concerned about the university's name being wrongly used because of student athletic associations. The association, by the way, couldn't even find its constitution at one point. And then a major change was had so that there was university supervision of athletics. Supervision also meant that it became part of the university's life, official life. And regulation began. That happened under our president, James Canfield, who preceded William Oxley Thompson. And from regulation to encouragement. And that's the theme. There are also concerns, as expressed in the chapter, about how large the university's athletic mission is getting. And I treat the whole subject of women's athletics really quite different. Because women's athletics was focused largely on intramural. There was very much a concern that it was not appropriate for women to engage in competitive sports, but rather participatory. And that didn't change until the 1950s. So it's really quite different.
The history of OSU, it's like a history of the United States, a history of higher education in the United States. If you know somebody who's a history buff, they would appreciate this book. It's written by an historian. Come on, OSU alumni, let's hear from you. I want to tell you about the book, The Ohio State University, An Illustrated History. It's by Raymond Gerler. He's with me today, here to answer your questions if you want, but also here to tell you that he supports WOSU and hopes you do too. This book is the definitive guidebook to the history of The Ohio State University. It covers critical events in OSU's history, vignettes of prominent alumni, and stories of well-known campus buildings and historic sites. The book also includes a history of OSU's presidents, right up to Gordon Gee, the second Gordon Gee, student life, traditions, and athletics. The Ohio State University, An Illustrated History, is the first one-volume history of the university to appear in more than 50 years. Learn how certain buildings on campus got their name, and in Chapter 3, read about five key turning points of OSU history, such as the student upheaval of 1970. I'm going to ask Ray about that in a few minutes. The book includes more than 300 rare photographs from the OSU archive. You can read about the famous OSU alumni such as runner Jesse Owens and artist Roy Lichtenstein. So give us a call right now at 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Show your support for WOSU, which shows your support as well for OSU. Make your pledge right now at the $150 level. Our gift to you is The Ohio State University, An Illustrated History by Raymond Gerler. But give what you can at any level you can afford. And if there's any students out there listening, this is time to show support for your university in maybe a different way. Maybe tuition goes to one thing, but your pledge of support at any level is appreciated. We want to know that you're out there listening, and this is the best way to tell us is right now. Call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Maybe make a great graduation gift. Graduation is just around the corner. What a fabulous gift to give somebody. And Ray Gerler has said that he will sign the books that go out to you. So they'll be signed by the author. It's brand new. You can't buy it anywhere right now, so don't even try. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. It's going to be a great book. I can't wait to see it. Right now I have a galley copy that I've been looking at. The photographs are they're bigger in real life in the final product, right?
Yes. In selecting the 300 photographs, I tried to keep one photograph to every page, and so I wanted it more than simply a photographic essay. I wanted every page to be a visual treat.
Let's hear from one of those famous OSU alumni right now.
In 1933, Jesse, you've received scholarship offers from many colleges and universities, but you enroll as a freshman at Ohio State University in Columbus. Why, Jesse?
Well, because, first of all, it was closer to home. I'd heard a great deal about the coaching staff at Ohio State University, and my junior high school coach wanted me to go.
That, of course, is Jesse Owens, interviewed by Ralph Edwards during an episode of This Is Your Life, about Jesse's decision to come to Ohio State, referred to as the greatest Olympian in history. Does Jesse Owens come to be a great part of Ohio State's history? You talk about Jesse in the book.
Yes, I do. I have a chapter, 25 People of OSU, and Jesse is one of them. Owens was remarkable as an athlete, as an Olympic champion, and also as a person. He was, some people discouraged him from going to OSU because OSU at that time, as many institutions, was not particularly hospitable to African American students, especially in the areas of housing. That was true of many other universities. Jesse, as he said, on the advice of his coach, of Coach Larry Snyder here at OSU, chose OSU to be the place for his heroic feats. He maintained a lifelong connection to OSU. In fact, one of his daughters, Marlene, was the first black homecoming queen in the 1960s. And Jesse and OSU have had a significant relationship ever since.
My guest is Ray Gerler. He's author of The Ohio State University, an illustrated history, the first one-volume history in 50 years. Ray, why 50 years go by and there's nothing, you know, there's nothing like this? That seems like a long time.
Well, since the 1950s, every presidential administration, from Beavis to Fawcett, up through the last one, has had a history written of the years in which a particular person was president. However, there was no comprehensive piece, and there was no piece for the general audience. So OSU has been doing histories all along, in fact, the last one published was of the Britt Kerwin years, and Chris Sacker is on the is writing yet another history. So this has been going on, but nothing really for the popular audience.
This is for you out there, listeners, 1-866-897-9678. Ray Gerler has written a book, The Ohio State University, an Illustrated History, for you. This is a book for you. It's not for the academics. So show your support for OSU and WOSU. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. You're listening to an interview with Ray Gerler. He's the author of The Ohio State University, an Illustrated History. Every day, All Sides brings you interesting conversations with fascinating people who are experts in their field. I would consider Ray Gerler an OSU expert, and he is here to take your calls. And then just once a year, we ask you to put a value on our station and make a pledge. A pledge right now will pay for the hundreds of hours of listening you will do this year. Go to WOSU.org or call our volunteers at 1-866-897-9678. We have $3,400 to go. Thanks very much to Nancy in Columbus. Our thank you gift to you this hour at the $150 level is the book, The Ohio State University, an Illustrated History. This book is full of great illustrations and more than 300 rare photographs from the Ohio State Archives. This book is the perfect gift for a new graduate of OSU, for a former graduate, an older graduate of OSU, for anyone who loves OSU. Support our station and support the Buckeye Nation. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. I guess I'm supposed to slow down on the number. 1-866-897-9678. When you make a pledge, you can also make comments. Jessica from Columbus says, I wish I had enough to give more because I love NPR and BBC. And when I thought if everyone gave a dollar, it would make a nice dent, my conscience forced me to act on it. Good luck with your pledge drive. Thanks, Jessica. You get it. You get the idea that every dollar counts. As little or as much as you can afford to give is what we need right now. If you think somebody else is going to make that call, you're wrong. We need you to make that call. And if you consider that some people just turn off the radio when it's pledge drive, we don't have the usual audience, so we really, really, really need you to make that call. We're behind in our pledge drive this spring. We need you to help us catch up. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. We would have this program with Ray Gerler regardless of the pledge drive. We're just lucky that he's taking the time to spend with us now to talk about his brand new book, The Ohio State University and Illustrated History. Give us a call now and show your support. 1-866-897-9678. It'll take just a few minutes, and it'll make you feel good for the entire rest of the year. Ray.
I can't imagine waking up without either a cup of coffee or morning edition. So I do hope that the pledge drive is successful.
1-866-897-9678. That's all you have to do is pick up the phone right now. We have about 20 minutes left. 20 minutes left and $3,400 to go. Let's get going and make the call or go online to WOSU.org. It takes just a few minutes. So, Ray, why was Columbus chosen for Ohio State in the first place? Was it because it was, well, the state capital?
Well, no, actually, that was certainly an advantage. But the Morrill Act that established the Ohio State University specifically prohibited any funds from public land sold in the West to be used to buy land or build buildings. So how is this going to happen? Some states took the Morrill money and simply added on programs to existing universities. We started out brand new from the Morrill Act, but still the basic question, if you can't use the land grant money to buy land, how are you going to get a start? And the answer was the Board of Trustees arranged a competition with five counties to be the site of the Ohio State University. Columbus won because it was the most geographical,
center of the state.
Exactly, and because the citizens of Franklin County passed a bond issue that provided money that the university could use to buy land. And one of the trustees also liked the idea of being in Columbus because he thought that the university, my throat swells to say this, would not need a library, that they could use the state library. Well, our trustees have a history of being frugal. And Rutherford B. Hayes, who was governor at that time, took some credit because he wanted the university to be in Columbus. But it was the result of a competition, and in fact it took 26 ballots amongst the Board of Trustees to decide on Columbus, on Franklin County, as the site of the new university.
I think of maybe the Morrill Act as sort of the interstate highway system of its day. In other words, it was this huge public undertaking.
That's correct. It was an enormous public undertaking. We talked today about the importance of higher education in the economy. Back in the 1860s, it was felt that higher education needed to be connected with the economy, and the Morrill Act, which provided for institutions of higher education that included agriculture and engineering. This was to directly relate higher education to economic development, and also to provide opportunities for people to go to college, learn agriculture, engineering, and other fields, other disciplines, and at a very low cost because of the federal subsidy from the Morrill Act, which kept tuition low.
When you talked about the county passing a bond issue to fund the construction of the original Ohio State University buildings and purchasing the land, it made me think of the fact that we can't put a bond issue out there for WOSU. We can't ask people to vote on it that way. It doesn't work that way. A little bit of our money comes from Ohio State University, but we won't be getting much more this year if we aren't facing cuts. Some of it comes from the state. Again, we're probably facing cuts there. And at the federal government, we know we're facing cuts there. The lion's share of our funding for WOSU by far comes from people just like you who are listening right now. 1-866-897-9678 is the way you vote for WOSU. It's the only way we have. It's the way what we depend on to keep the kind of programming that you expect on the air and online at WOSU.org. 15 more calls or 15 pledges in support of all sides this hour is what we need right now. Just 15 more, and you will help us meet our goal. There's only 2.5 days to go in this pledge drive. Please don't wait until the last minute. Every call we get, every pledge we get, believe it or not, inspires someone else to make a pledge. Every time I can say we've bit off a little bit more of that goal, somebody else wants to pick up that phone and do the same thing and help us get there. So people who love OSU and love WOSU are ambitious, goal-oriented people. We need you to help us meet our goal. We have just 2.5 days to go. You can go online. It's very, very simple, WOSU.org. You click on Pledge Now, and within 2 minutes, you're probably in and out of the site. It's that fast. That simple. And it also is simplified by the fact that we don't tell you how much to give. That's up to you. That's up to how much you can afford and how much you think we're worth. If you listen to us just 1 hour a week or 2 hours a day, whatever it is, however you value your time, is how you should think of it, and also how much you can afford. We're here whether you pitch in or not, but we need everybody to start pitching in these days. Please, 1-866-897-9678. You will feel better right away. Thank you to Pat in Dublin. We need 14 more calls now, and we have just about 12 or 13 minutes to go. Thank you to Pat in Dublin for making that show of support. I want to tell you a little bit more about the Ohio State University and Illustrated History. My guest is the author of the book, Raymond Gerler. He is a professor emeritus at Ohio State University and former OSU archivist. So you can see what his interest is in the book. It is our gift to you at the $150 pledge level. The book, you can learn how certain buildings on campus got their name, and in chapter three, you can read about 5 key turning points of OSU history. I still want to get to the student upheaval of the 1970. The book includes more than 300 rare photographs from the OSU archive, and it's a must-have for all loyal Buckeyes, past, present, and future. I know you're out there, or everybody knows somebody who's a loyal Buckeye in this town. So think about that, and think about what a great gift it would be. And you can add to the sentiment of the gift the fact that you also showed your support for WOSU in the process of getting the book. At the $150 pledge level, it's our gift to you. Go to WOSU.org or give us a call at 1-866-897-9678. I'd rather be talking about a book right now, right, Ray? But thanks to Nancy and Powell, 13 more calls this hour. Think about this as a great gift. It's going to be a beautiful book. It's not out yet. You can't get it. Now's your chance to do something for WOSU, to show your support for the station and for the university. The Ohio State University and Illustrated History, our gift to you at the $150 pledge level. So thanks for your support. Thanks to everybody who's helping us out today. Pick up the phone and call somebody if you know somebody that loves WOSU but maybe isn't listening today, and tell them now is the time. We need your help now. Ray Gerler, well, let's talk about the 1970s. It's one of the turning points. You said there were 5 big turning points for the university. In what way was that a turning point?
Well, a turning point to me is an event or a decision that accelerates the pace of change. And the disturbances that culminated in the closure of the campus in May of 1970 had been going on throughout the 1960s. They were driven by a variety of factors, civil rights, opposition to the war in Vietnam, student unhappiness about bureaucratization of campus, women's concerns about not having full equality with men students, and this All of this resulted in clashes periodically. There was also with university administration that led to violence and counter-violence, that is official violence from police and tear gas, and culminated ultimately in the closing of the campus. Certainly in terms of the drama, the length of the protests was significant, extraordinary in university history. The consequences were also extraordinary. We got much more effort at including students in university decisions. The University Senate, which was the first time that university governance included students, took place, began in 1972. There were programs for women, for minorities, that certainly had some initiatives earlier in the 60s and even in the 1950s, but they were accelerated in the events of the 1960s, and that culminated in the disturbances of 1970. Hence, it's a turning point with lasting consequences in university history. Much more emphasis on participation in university decision making, participation by multiple parties.
Thanks to James in Delaware. We need just 12 more calls now. We have 9 minutes to go, and we need your support now. Give us a call at 1-866-897-9678 and show your support for WOSU, 89.7 NPR News, and All Sides with Ann Fisher. Now's the time. Don't wait. 1-866-897-9678. My guest is Ray Gerler. He's author of The Ohio State University and Illustrated History. It's our gift to you at the $150 pledge level. Who do you consider the most effective and far-reaching presidents of OSU besides Gordon Gee? Because, you know, I don't know how many of them come back the way he has. But
that is extraordinary. I can't think of anybody else who's come back for a second administration. Usually a first is exhausting enough.
Right.
He
did his time.
But certainly the president with the longest tenure here at OSU would probably be considered the most successful in terms of transformational influence on the campus. And that was William Oxley Thompson, for whom the library is named, and he was president from 1899 to 1925. He oversaw the transformation of the campus. In fact, in the unveiling of the Thompson statue that is in front of the Thompson Library, Thompson was alive, by the way, when that statue was unveiled.
That's unusual.
His successor, George Reitmeier, commented that the man cast a shadow, and I think he meant it positively, over the entire campus. Hence the statue. And there's a story about the statue that. Of course, Thompson, as I said, was alive and posed for the statue, and that the story is that Thompson wanted a representation that was larger than life, because he said he didn't want somebody who was like Rodin's The Thinker. He wanted something that was larger, because he saw himself as a man of action rather than a profound thinker. And everything we know about Thompson was that he was an excellent communicator, heard all sides of an issue, and managed to find the right decision at the right time. He was a backer, by the way, of the stadium, and was involved in the campaign. And periodically, he'd get letters from, why do we need another stadium, and shouldn't we put our efforts into other academic pursuits? And Thompson replied, why can't we do both?
Speaking of OSU presidents, OSU President Gordon Gee is scheduled to be on the program next week. We try to have him on a regular basis, including lots of other interesting people from the community, from the state, and nationally. If you care about that kind of programming, give us a call now. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Every day, All Sides brings you in-depth conversations with newsmakers and interesting people in our community. Ray Gerler is an expert when it comes to Ohio State history. He's an acclaimed archivist and historian. To keep informative programs like this on the air, we need your support. Pick the amount that fits into your budget. If that amount is $150, then your thank you gift can be the book, The Ohio State University, and Illustrated History. Go online to our secure server at WOSU.org or talk to our volunteers at 1-866-897-9678. Thanks to George in New Albany, and also Sally in Newark and Sam in Columbus. We need just 9 more calls and we can meet this goal, but you need to call now. We have 5 minutes left. 9 more calls to make. Thanks to everybody who has shown their support. We appreciate every single person. We appreciate every single dollar that you can pledge to WOSU. So make that call right now, and you'll be supporting public radio in Central Ohio. Support All Sides with Ann Fisher. Remember, any pledge of $60 or more also gets you the WOSU member card, which is good for discounts at more than 200 area restaurants and attractions. I use mine all the time. It really, really works. So that's a great investment, not only in your community in terms of WOSU and 89.7, but also in yourself, because that's something you can use every single day. WOSU.org is where you go to pledge online, and you can call 1-866-897-9678. And you could also leave a comment with our volunteers who are taking the pledges right now. We really do read them, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So thanks for your support. Thanks for your opinions. We appreciate all of it. 1-866-897-9678. Just 4 minutes left. So don't wait. Make the call now. The book is going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see the final copy, and it will arrive at your home, signed by Ray Gerler, the author, if you make that pledge right now, 1-866-897-9678 at the $150 level. The book is our gift to you, so thank you. What was going on at OSU during the Great Depression?
The Great Depression is remarkable at OSU in the sense that enrollment during the Depression was fairly stable. This was the result of FDR's financial support. We have WPA buildings still on this campus, Stillman Hall being one example, and the golf course was another. So there was for the first time, a significant investment from the federal government of trying to keep students in school and hence out of the workplace. So one of the things that took place during the Great Depression, got a great deal of fanfare for many years, was the creation of a stadium dormitory, a dormitory actually inside the stadium. Mm-hmm. When the stadium was renovated in the 1990s, that dormitory had to be removed. But I remember every single time that there was a nationally broadcast football game here, they would make reference to the dormitory inside the stadium, and that was a cooperative dormitory begun in the 1930s to enable students to live at a fraction of the usual cost by doing work. This was a Great Depression. Of course, the development fund of the university also had its origins in the 1930s as the OSU Research Foundation, trying to connect faculty with sponsors of research.
1-866-897-9678. We have just 2 minutes to go, and we want to get that phone ringing. Every dollar makes a difference. If $150 works for you, you can get this book. We need 7 more calls in 2 minutes. We really need to make these goals, folks. That's how it works. We can't pass a bond issue. We can't depend on the government. We never have anyway. We've always depended on loyal listeners just like you to show your support at whatever level you can. I know that we've had pledges since last week of everything from $10 to $1,000. Whatever you can afford, we appreciate. We understand not everybody has that much disposable income, or discretionary income, I should say. Give us a call and share what you can with us for your own benefit. Thanks to Alice in Columbus. We need 6 more calls now, and we have just about a minute left. 6 calls, a minute left. 6 people can pick up the phone right now. I know we have the volunteers standing by to take your call. We have 6 people in there that are just waiting for something to do. So show your support right now. I want to say thanks to Ray Gerler for joining us today.
it's a pleasure, and look forward to having WOSU be a continued success and an important part of my life. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Ray Gerler. He's Professor Emeritus and former OSU archivist, author of The Ohio State University, An Illustrated History. Make that call right now, 1-866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org. A click counts too. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.